And now, your go-to source for year-round fantasy hockey advice, DFS and betting coverage. This is NHL Fantasy on Ice, presented by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL.
Brought to you by good friends over at Skip. It's time for another edition of NHL Fantasy on Ice, Week 23 Mailbag Edition. Nick Alberga and Anna Dew with you. I think Pete Jensen's over at March Madness, Anna.
Yeah, he's having the time of his life. Left us to handle this show, Nick. The show brought to you by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL. And it's almost April. Oh, my God.
It's pretty nuts. We got a banger of a guest today. It's Jake Hahn from SiriusXM NHL Network Radio. What's going on, Jake?
Not too much, guys. Thanks for having me again. And I wish I was with Pete watching March Madness or whatever he's doing. But next best thing is talking to you guys right now. So, but after this, you can catch me at any local King Street bar watching March Madness for the next 4 days.
Let's just clarify one thing with Peter. He's not doing anything with March Madness. The guy doesn't even like basketball, okay, unless Penn State is in the tournament. He's doing some sports business panel. You know, they think he's some sort of big wig. But at the end of the day, he's really the only guy willing to do it. I'm a Penn State alum myself. I mean, on March Madness, you're telling me I'm going to State College to do some panel? No. So anyway, Nick, that's just for clarification.
Okay, I heard rumors he was hanging out with Shohei Ohtani's bookie, so that's good that he's not on that on that front either. But Jake, it's fantasy playoffs. We're playing each other. I think this is awkward that producer Bob brought you on at the same time. Man, you got a big, big David Riddick shutout on Wednesday, and obviously I got Marc-Andre Fleury in there, so it's tough sledding. But in general, do you have a strategy or like advice that you would give to people come playoff time in head-to-head leagues?
Yeah, I think the best strategy, it might be the most obvious one, is to manipulate the schedule, right? And it was tricky this week because so many teams played four games, right? So it's hard to kind of narrow it down and maybe look at a team that, okay, who plays four games, but who has good matchups, who maybe plays on the off nights. Actually ended up being the Washington Capitals that weirdly enough had the best schedule this week, right? With four games playing on all the off nights. And I was a little bit worried about their offense and can they keep up what they've been doing over the last few weeks. And for the most part, they have. I mean, they did lose Wednesday night to the Maple Leafs, but they scored a few goals. Yet again, Ovi looks like he's waking up all of a sudden, guys. And I think that's an interesting conversation now. You know, obviously, if you hung on to Ovi this year and through the tough times and now he's paying off for you in your fantasy playoffs, he's an interesting conversation all of a sudden going into next year's fantasy, right? Because I think if we had this conversation maybe a month ago, 2 months ago, he plummeted down rankings. And now all of a sudden, are we buying in to Alex Ovechkin being back all of a sudden? I think that's going to be a fascinating conversation through the offseason now.
Jake, let me tell you, we had a mock draft where I took Alex Ovechkin very late, and I thought I came out looking great, and then he had a slow start to the season. I will say, though, his shot volume is still really high. He just hasn't been scoring, and now he finally is scoring. But speaking of a guy who's kind of paying off for you in the fantasy playoffs, who's your, like, under-the-radar pickup that you had on your fantasy team that's really coming in clutch right now?
Yeah, that's a good question, actually. And honestly, there's a few looking back, and I think you could go to a lot of different goaltenders. I have a team where I don't have a single goaltender that I drafted on my roster. I think they're all playing in the American Hockey League right now. And that's how crazy the goaltending position has been this year. So there's been a lot of good finds in terms of the goaltending market, but as we know, that can be pretty finicky. Like if you picked up Alex Lyon midway through the season, you were feeling great going into the fantasy playoffs, and then all of a sudden he goes in the tank, and now James Reimer is the starter in Detroit all of a sudden. So to answer your question, Anna, I think one guy that's been really steady for me in terms of a straight pickup off of the wire has actually been Yegor Sharangovich of the Calgary Flames. He did go on a little bit of a cold streak at one point, but then he got hot again, and I think he's just been really solid in that top six for Calgary, playing in all sorts of situations. So a bunch of great fantasy stories out there of guys that we scooped off of the wire. But Yegor Sharangovich, I want to give him a little bit of a shout out because a guy I really liked in New Jersey that kind of got lost in the shuffle amongst all their forwards has been reborn a little bit in Calgary.
And of course, we could tie a bow on that. Tyler Toffoli will make another return in New Jersey on Thursday, part of that trade right now with the Winnipeg Jets. Some guys that I've looked at the last little while that have brought me some success, Pavel Zacha with Boston's heating up, a massive point streak. Juraj Slefkovský, I think it's going to be intriguing to see how he's ranked going into next season. He's been blistering hot for Montreal. And Philip Kurashev playing alongside, obviously, Connor Bedard. And you talk about Bedard, I'm very curious as to like how you view Bedard in year two. Like he's got to be probably in the same territory he was going into year one. No,
I want to shout out Gus Nyquist as well before we move on to Bedard as a guy that I picked up off the wire that is just an absolute monster. Like, I don't understand how he sat on waiver wires for as long as he did. He's just been incredible. That top line in Nashville, maybe we can get into the Preds at some point at the course of this episode as well. I'm all in on Bedard, guys. I don't think that I'm really breaking any ground in saying that. I just think that he's a special player. I do still worry about what's around him in Chicago. I don't see that getting significantly better going into next year's season unless they really change gears and do something crazy in free agency, which I don't see yet for this team with where they're at. And they're obviously going to get another high draft pick, maybe first overall again. I know that's going to trigger a lot of people online if they do get first overall again and the lottery balls fall their way. But I still think you're going to be looking at Bedard with Kurashev and maybe someone other than Foligno. So there could be a slight upgrade to his line combinations going into next year, but I think he's a legit stud. I think he's only going to continue to shoot the puck even more going into next year's season. So I think we should treat him as such in the fantasy community, and he's basically around a point per game player in his rookie season. So I think, you know, something second, third round is where we have to start with Bedard next year.
I know you said it wasn't a hot take to be high on Bedard, Jake, but on this podcast, remember, producer Bob Bender is here, and that's his favorite trigger word is Connor Bedard. He's not a fan. You want to say
cold
something,
take.
Bob?
That's
Wait a
cold take.
Second. Real quick, I'm a huge fan of Bedard and what he does. I just didn't love the point total for this rookie year, and honestly, I'm going to win the bet. So that's all I'll say. I mean, I'm rooting for Bedard. I said from the beginning, this guy's a magician with the puck, shot amazing, all that. But first year, NHL, he got hurt. Point total was too high. Bob Bender's a winner. Anna's a loser. Nick's a loser. Jay Kahn, I think, agreed with me. He's a winner. Pete's a loser.
He's a value hunter, guys.
Yeah. I think he's a hater, but moving on to the next topic of conversation, since we're talking about futures, a guy I wanted to bring up who's really turned his game around, of course I'm going to talk about the New Jersey Devils, it's Timo Meier, Jake. And as of late, he's been on another level. He's got 8 shots on goal, 2 goals in his last game against the Pittsburgh Penguins, pretty much like 4 or 5 shots on goal a night, scoring left, right, and center. I wonder how you're taking a look at a guy like that heading into next season and what his fantasy value kind of stands at, because he's been so low and so high.
It's kind of funny how fantasy works, right? Where you can be so frustrated with somebody to the point where you don't even want them on your roster anymore. Like, we just talked about Ovi, how I don't know if it got to that point, but you're definitely frustrated as an Ovi owner, and now he's crushing it in your fantasy playoffs for you. Timo Meier falls in that category as well. How many times did we talk him and say, what do we do with this guy? Can you even trade him? Do you even want him on your roster? He's kind of buried on the third line. He's not getting first power play looks. He was given a pretty good line assignment a couple weeks ago, and he's just running with it. So, look, we know the talent of the player, and we saw it in San Jose, and I've always looked at it as this was maybe a bit of a difficult fit for him in New Jersey, where there's so many puck-dominant guys, and there's so many guys that want to shoot the puck, that I think it was tricky for him to make that transition from San Jose, where he was the guy, and he was the one guy that they looked at to shoot the puck 5, 6, maybe 7 times a game, and I think he's still trying to find that in New Jersey. So he's been one of my favorite shot prop guys lately over the last couple of weeks. I'm going to continue to ride that through the end of the season, because even though it looks like the Devils are out of it in terms of playoff contention,
not yet.
I think not technically, but they're not making the playoffs. I'm sorry to break it to you guys, but I know they're not mathematically eliminated, but I still think Timo Meier wants to finish this season strong to go into next year, and maybe we can buy in a little bit, but I'd still temper my expectations because of a strong finish to the season.
Jake, the two narratives that won't die on this podcast when it comes to playoffs, Buffalo for some reason and New Jersey. There's 17 teams in front
Buffalo
of them.
Buffalo does
there's
this every year.
Oh, dude, I called it 2 months ago. I'm surprised Ottawa's not in this conversation. It's the same story, but echoing Anna's point on Meier, love Meier right now. He's been on fire. Jake Allen's another guy I wanted to ask you about, Jake. 3 starts with New Jersey, 2-1-0, 2.01, and 9.46. Again, we got that revenge game coming up on Thursday. Laurent Boissois is going to start for Winnipeg. It's not going to be Connor Hellebuyck. Would you look at the under in that game and maybe Tyler Toffoli in terms of revenge props? Excuse me.
Well, I know you're firing up the Tyler Toffoli revenge prop. I don't even have to ask you about that. And hey, why not? He's playing well for Winnipeg right now. They've got this deep lineup. And I was, again, curious how he would sort of fit into that whole thing. But Toffoli is a guy that's so used to getting traded and moved to a new team that I think he's kind of the perfect guy to trade for at the deadline, because he's so used to coming into a new team and figuring out a new system and kind of doing it all on the fly. So I don't think we should be too shocked that he's kind of fit in seamlessly there. As for the Devils goaltending, I don't know what to make of it, guys. Like, I don't know what you think about it. like, ultimately, I'm glad that they made some moves. I just thought the timing of it was very strange to wait until the deadline when you knew you had goaltending issues basically all season long, and you waited until then to make a couple of moves. So both guys in flashes have looked pretty good since those moves, so maybe that's some promise for the Devils moving into next year's season. I still think long-term they need more. I don't think that Jake Allen is the solution there long-term in New Jersey. They have to find something else, but for the now, I think for your fantasy playoffs, I think for betting down the line, he can be trusted to an extent. I think he's got a lot to prove here, maybe a bit of a chip on his shoulder in New Jersey right now.
Speaking of solutions in the crease, Jake, bringing it closer to you, I haven't been particularly impressed with his individual performances, but I am so high on this guy as a player, as I know you are, and he's only just over 50% rostered in fantasy. What are you thinking about Joe Wall for the rest of the year, right? So he's coming in for this Maple Leaf squad, and I wonder if you're taking a flyer on this guy, despite the fact that individually he's not looked his best.
I clung on to Joe Wall all season through the injury. I was really high on him early in the season, and I felt like, okay, this is the guy that is eventually going to take over the net from Samsonov. Ultimately, Samsonov had his issues as well at one point in the season, and I really thought if there was anybody that could push Connor Bedard for the Calder this year, I didn't really see the Brock Faber season coming. He's obviously been awesome, but I felt like it was Joe Wall. Unfortunately, injuries got in the way, but my case for him would have been, okay, if you're the starter on the Toronto Maple Leafs, if they have a great season, there's your case for a Calder trophy. So it obviously didn't work out for him in that aspect, but I still believe in the talent of the player. And when you just look at strictly this week, which is first week of fantasy playoffs for a lot of people, the Leafs play four times, two back-to-backs, one of which we've already seen where he gets the win against the Washington Capitals, and another back-to-back over the weekend. This one's kind of a nightmare, though. It's Edmonton and it's Carolina. So it depends on where your goaltending categories are at. If you want to give Joe Wall a start over the weekend, I don't know which game he's going to get. But either way, you get a nightmare matchup against either Edmonton or Carolina. So he's going to get one of those starts. We'll see how he comes through it. But in terms of the talent of the player, I believe in him. And I think if there's any slip up with Ilya Samsonov down the stretch here going to the playoffs, you could see Joe Wall start some really big games for the Maple Leafs this year.
Jake, delivered by good friends over at Skip, this one from Johnny. What's the biggest trap someone can fall into during playoffs and head-to-head leagues?
Ooh, that's the biggest trap.
Johnny's a man.
Yeah, yeah. That's a tough question. I don't know. I think maybe stacking one team would be a trap that maybe some people get into, because we talk about the schedule where, okay, you look at a team that maybe is playing four times that has a good schedule. You want to get some exposure to that team, but I don't think you want to overdo it where you put all your eggs in one basket. And if that team has a rough week, well, you're basically on this, you're basically screwed at that point and you got no hope of winning. So I think that can be a little bit of a trap. I'd also say maybe using all your pickups a little too early in the week. I think some people get a little crazy. You want to stack your roster. You want to get, you know, everything set up for yourself for the week and maybe give yourself an edge early in the week. And then you leave yourself looking for pickups on a Saturday or Sunday when you really need them. So I think those are a couple things that you see people fall victim to this time of the year.
I feel like you're talking directly to me, Jake, because I'm a huge stacker. So maybe I'll be a little bit cautious of that. But you know what? It's worked for me in the past. However, I want to ask you, if you did have to stack from a particular team, which team would it be right now? Because for me, it's a toss-up between the Winnipeg Jets and the Carolina Hurricanes.
I was going to say the Carolina Hurricanes. So I'm with you on that one in terms of stacking. This team just looks so legit right now, guys. I know. I mean, Carolina's been great for years. We know that. We know what they've built there in Carolina. It's very steady. It's very consistent. But I love what they did at the deadline, and I'm not usually someone that loves when teams make the big splash at the deadline. I think it can really affect your team, but I feel like with what Carolina's built, it made a lot of sense to finally push some chips in the middle and say, okay, enough getting bounced in the second or third round and doing good enough but not winning a Stanley Cup or making a cup final. Let's go make that big splash. They get Gensel. And I was kind of curious about the Kuznetsov move. I thought, okay, that one's a little bit strange. I don't know where he's at right now. He's a little bit of an enigma, but we've seen him have a monster playoffs in the past. I know it was like 5 years ago now. It's been a while, but we've seen him step up, and he just looks a little rejuvenated. I think he looks excited to be out of Washington. He doesn't have to do too much there in Carolina. He can just kind of slot in. So Canes are very deep. I think there'd still be a few players that might be available off your wire. That's a team I love what I'm seeing offensively, and I'd be willing to stack up a few Canes.
I couldn't agree more. They're 6-1 since the trade deadline, but most importantly, as you know, you mentioned, like they address needs ahead of the playoffs. I think my biggest takeaway every year is that power play. goes so dry at the most important time of the year. And I think you really help solidify things with a guy like Kuznetsov. And you talk about playoff performers, just go to HockeyDB and search the name Jake Guentzel. The guy is Mr. Playoff Performer, as we've seen so many times with Pittsburgh. And I would say the great thing, too, with Guentzel is, like, right away, he's rid this narrative that he could only play with Sidney Crosby. He's picking up points left and right so far with the Carolina Hurricanes. Jake, I wanted to ask you about Victor Arvidsson. Got a goal and an assist on Wednesday night in his return against Minnesota. Missed 14 games with a lower body injury. I think he's a cheeky pickup this time here. He's only played 5 times in 69 games so far for the Kings, but he does have 4 points in 5. Played with Laferriere and Dubois and PP2, line 3 for the LA Kings.
I've always been a big Arvidsson fan. It's unfortunate for him how the last few years have gone, right? It feels like it's just hard for him to put a healthy stretch together. And then all of a sudden, he just gets airdropped into the Kings lineup all of a sudden. You're like, oh, Arvidsson's back. Great. Okay. And, you know, he's obviously a guy that's not afraid to shoot the puck. If you're looking at shot props, goal props, things like that in the betting market, Arvidsson's a guy I would certainly look to. And they like to get him some power play time. I don't know how they want to shake out PP1 and PP2 moving forward now that he's back in the mix and they've got a relatively healthy roster there. Kempe's back as well. You've got Fiala there. A lot of guys that you want to kind of have in that Arvidsson type role on the power play. So they have a lot of options, but I'm with you, Nick. Either way, regardless of what line he's on or which power play he's on, he's a guy that when he plays, he's really consistent. It's just a matter of him staying on the ice. So if he's healthy and someone's forgotten about him in your league, I would definitely fire up Vic Arvidsson down the stretch.
Jake, I've been saying this on this podcast for the last couple of weeks since the trade deadline, but I don't think enough people are listening, so I need you to echo my sentiments here, okay? About Anthony Duclair, 26% rostered in fantasy, has a point in every single game as a member of the Tampa Bay Lightning, has a goal in all but one games as a member of the Tampa Bay Lightning. Insane lineup placement right now on their top line. This is a must-roster guy, right? Like, why is he so readily available?
This was one of the sneaky pickups, I think, around the deadline that no one talked about. Like, almost to the point where we were doing shows the week after, and I thought, oh yeah, Tampa did get Duclair. Because there was so much movement, obviously, in bigger names than Duclair, but he's a guy that's proven in the past that he can score if put with the right players. And he's been put with the right players so far in Tampa Bay. And now all of a sudden I look at that Bolts lineup and I look at lines 1, 2, and 3. Obviously we know what they have. Line 1, Point and Kucherov, absolute studs up there. Kucherov still an MVP candidate this year and he's kind of going to push MacKinnon down the stretch. But even lines 2 and 3 now with Duclair there, I kind of like it. I don't think it's as good as the cup winning Tampa Bay teams, but I think it's good enough to make some noise come playoff time. And from a fantasy perspective, I love where Duclair's at in that lineup. So totally with you on this one, Anna. And we've actually mentioned it on our shows a couple times, how sneaky of a pickup that is with Duclair. And he's a guy that can run with a good line assignment. So I actually like what Tampa's doing. And they're the one team in the Eastern Conference playoff race right now. It's just, to me, it seems like a lot of these teams are average to below average. You look at it, you know, Philly, Detroit, Washington, Islanders, someone's going to make it. Two teams are going to make it out of that mix, but they don't feel threatening to me. Tampa's the one team in that wild card conversation that I actually think, okay, watch out in the first round if they can figure something out.
Yeah, they've won 4 in a row since the trade deadline. My only curiosity with them will be depth in the back end. Sergachev's not returning anytime soon. Don't think he'll return this season, but goaltending. Vasilevsky's played 42 of the last 48 games. They don't have a backup goaltender. I know Pete's a big Jonas Johansson guy, but they don't have a backup goaltender. This guy's going to play every game down the stretch. Which leads me to Colorado. It feels like they found a backup goalie. Eustis Annanen is a guy who's not really getting much respect in the fantasy world, but he's probably been playing better than Alexander Georgiev over the last month. Colorado has 7 straight wins, love their deadline. Is he a guy you would stream in fantasy playoffs?
I absolutely would, and I got to knock myself for this one because I had been streaming him before. I can't remember who he was playing, but I streamed him for a game, and I remember thinking, should I be hanging on to him for fantasy playoffs? I feel like there could be something there, and I dropped him for a pickup on a Sunday just because I needed a player to try to win a category, and ultimately he gets scooped back off the wire the next week, and I start to look at what's going on in Colorado, and I'm thinking, I probably should have hung on to this guy because I think he's going to make a major impact in fantasy playoffs. And I mean, he's pushing Georgiev for starts, really, or at least to make it a 50-50 split between the two of them. So I don't know where this came from. And obviously he's on a great team that is kind of matchup proof. It doesn't seem to really matter who Colorado plays. I think he could run him out there against anybody. So yeah, if you picked him up in your league, I would certainly hang on to him through fantasy playoffs. If he's somehow still sitting on your waiver wire, I would go and grab him. And yeah, I'm curious if he can even push Georgiev beyond that. I think talking playoff starts might be a little bit different. Georgiev still got the inside track there, but love what I'm seeing from this guy.
Jake, I know you said earlier you wanted to get into this team on this episode, so that's exactly what I'm going to do right now. But I want to ask you, when you're in fantasy playoffs, do you ever get a little bit cautious of streaming guys from teams that are so red hot that you think they're going to fall off any minute? Because I can't remember the last time the Nashville Predators lost a game in regulation. Like, and it's gotten to the point where I'm looking at this team and I'm like, oh, maybe I should take a flyer on a guy like Kiefer Sherwood. And I'm like, wait, I got to relax here. Like, got to cool down a little bit, because the Nashville Predators could completely turn the other direction and go really cold for the next 2 weeks. So are you a little bit wary of that, or are you all in on Nashville right now?
No, I'm all in on that. Probably way too in on the Predators, to be completely honest. I need someone to dial me back. Obviously, we have to draw the line somewhere in terms of players we're picking up on that roster. I don't think we need to be picking up fourth liners or anything like that, although they are getting production from every line right now. But I am totally in on this team, and I can't believe I'm saying this, because I had no interest in this team going into this year. I actually liked, from a general manager perspective, what Barry Trotz was doing long-term, and I thought, you know what, this is the right thing for Nashville. I think we could see results 2-3 years down the road. I didn't think we'd see these types of results this year, and I think a lot of credit does go to Andrew Brunette behind the bench. I think I have some interest in him, even in the Jack Adams market here down the stretch, if you could still find a good number. I think he could very much be in that conversation. A healthy Philip Forsberg, how many times have we talked that over the years in fantasy, that on a per-game basis, this guy's a stud, but he just can't stay healthy for a full season. I mentioned Gus Nyquist earlier in this episode. I think one of the more underrated players in the league, a skill guy that can play on any line. So they've got a legit top line. I think Roman Josi is playing at a Norris Trophy level. He's not going to win the award. He might get the placeholder three spot behind Quinn Hughes and Cale Makar, but I love this team. I think they can make some legit noise in the playoffs, guys. Nick, I don't know if you agree with me on this, or if I'm just, you know, buying too high on a Preds team that's hot right now. But I mean, I watched them go into Winnipeg last week and dominate a Jets team that looks like one of the top teams in the Western Conference. It wasn't just a win. It was a complete domination over 60 minutes. I think this Preds team could very much be heard from come playoff time.
Jake, we're right on par. Like, I made this reference on the NHL Action collaboration. Go back and check it out on Wednesday, where it's like, why can't Nashville do something special? They got the number one goaltender. They got Juuse Saros. They got the number one defenseman, Roman Josi. And they got some guys who just, like, play with jam and gumption and heart, like Ryan O'Reilly, like guys who will drag you through the fight. And I think people are going to sleep on them. Like, you're going to see a sexy matchup against, like, a Vancouver or somebody like that, and you're going to be like, oh, there's no way they're going to win this. Then they win. It's very similar, like, St. Louis a couple years ago. Saw Florida go on a magical run last year. Why not is my question. And the answer to your question, February 15th, a 9-2 loss to the Dallas Stars. Last time that team lost in regulation. I'm so on board with the Nashville Predators right now, and I'd be the first to admit I had them as a bottom five team entering the season. They've done a great job, and you want to talk about revenge spots. I know the Florida Panthers have been buzzing back-to-back losses. The Andrew Brunette revenge spot on Thursday is something I will look at, Jake. I don't know if you're interested in, but maybe at plus money, I would take a dabble on Nashville on Thursday night.
I think at this point, if the Preds are playing a game, I'm just betting the Preds. I know it was tough the other night when they played San Jose and they were like a minus 500 favorite. That was probably a game where I'm like, you know what, there's not really a lot of value here. I'm not a big parlay guy, so I'm just going to let that one slide. But I'm getting this kind of plus money. I have total respect for Florida. They could be the best team in the National Hockey League. I've probably said that a couple times throughout the course of this year, and they've lost a couple games here. You know Florida's going to want to bounce back, but I like Nashville at this price. I'm certainly willing to take a shot on a hot team that is just continuing to roll and looks completely dominant right now. I actually did sprinkle about a week ago, I want to say it was, on the Preds 60-1 to win the Stanley Cup. So yeah, pretty big number. I think that number has gone the other way, obviously, with a few more wins. I know it's a long shot. They'd have to beat a lot of good teams to get there. But sometimes there's something to be said for a team that finds their form late in the season and can go into the playoffs playing like that. So let's go Preds.
you know, Jake, I admire that. You know, we don't get enough of that here on the show. Everyone playing it safe. Oh, I'm going to take the Colorado Avalanche to win it all. I mean, I'm going to take Nate MacKinnon to win the Hart. So, Jake, it's nice that somebody likes a little long shot action. And the Preds, listen, the goalie makes all the difference. He might be the best goalie in the league, you know. I know the numbers don't suggest it, but he saves the Predators' bacon a lot. So in a playoff series, I know it's the West, it's a gauntlet. I like the number, though, Jake.
Someone's got to donate some money to the sports books around here. I'm happy to be that guy.
We're going full Nicolas Cage and Gone in 60 Seconds.
Oh, that's my
right gif. Okay, that's your favorite gif of all time.
That is. How many times have I sent you that gif? Probably.
Yeah. We're on board. Let's hit Nashville. Let's hit Nashville. Last question for me. I think now's the time, again, to tap into Toronto's top line. I should preface by saying Sheldon Keefe changes lines every other shift, it seems, but Max Domi, Austin Matthews, Tyler Bertuzzi combined for 3 goals, 7 assists, 10 points in that win against Washington on Wednesday. Max Domi's a guy specifically, Tyler Bertuzzi too. Those guys are both interesting because they had just atrocious starts to their Maple Leafs careers, but the second half, much different. I would tap into Toronto right now, Jake.
Yeah, I think they've really found their confidence. Obviously, there's guys to play with in Toronto for them, right? Whether you're with a Nylander or a Matthews or a Tavares, who's starting to heat up all of a sudden again after being in the cooler. Mitch Marner, when he comes back, there's so many different options for really talented players for them to play with. So there's really no excuse for the lack of production. I mean, those guys were given opportunities, and I think there could be a lot of pressure, obviously, playing in that market and coming over, even especially for a guy like Max Domi, with who his dad was and what his name is, and, you know, Bertuzzi, it felt like watching him, he was so snake-bitten. He was getting chances, he's hitting posts, he's missing nets. So it felt like it was about to happen for him, and it finally is. So a lot of interest for me in both of those guys down the stretch, because a win or lose, I think the Leafs are going to generate a lot of chances and score a lot of goals. I'm going to Leafs Oilers on Saturday night, guys. I can't wait to watch a little Connor McDavid and Austin Matthews.
Sounds like a great time, Jake. Yes. Bob, you want to say something? You look like you're dying to say
something.
It
looks like Boomer Gordon lined his pockets with some nice tickets for a marquee game. Very nice.
Yeah, right.
Jake. Very nice.
Boomer doesn't leave his house. You kidding me?
Good old Boomer Gordon giving him the tickets.
Tyler Matarazz begged me to take him with my extra tickets, so he's the lucky one.
You're not taking
he's
Nick?
He's groveling.
No. I don't go to that arena. Adam Henrique, anytime goal. Rip it. I probably am. Jake, this has been a blast, man. Lastly, I know producer Bob, probably why he wants to get on the microphone. March Madness, what are you looking at? Any plays you like?
Well, my two favorite plays, at least for day one, are actually the last two games. I like the Drake Bulldogs to win. Slight favorite, -1.
I'm sorry, keep talking. It's like bed music.
Samford +7.5 against Kansas. And in terms of a tournament winner, I'm going with Iowa State, guys. I don't want to pick one of the favorites. I know everyone's on UConn and whatever. I don't know. I'm not a favorite guy. I like to find a little something down the board. They are on the same side of the bracket as UConn, but they wouldn't have to face them till very late. So you can hope UConn gets knocked out, maybe upset at some point. And if it gets that head-to-head match, I got a 30-1 on Iowa State. So that's my team.
Hey, Jake, me and you see it eye to eye. The value are on the teams that are in that UConn side of the bracket. I like Iowa State. I placed 3 bets. If you listen to the NHL Action Collaboration, the 3 bets I've made, I've hit the last 2 years, so looking for 3 in a row. I'm on Iowa State with you. I'm on Illinois at like +3,000. I've taken them as well. And then I go to the Midwest, and I have a little wager on Tennessee. Those are my 3 graded wagers. And then the next two would be Creighton and Kentucky. Okay, that's all I got on the March Madness.
Thank you, Jake.
I love it. Thanks, guys. Always
Creighton
a blast.
Blue Jays, baby. The Creighton Blue Jays. I'm all over them. Thanks, Jake.
Thanks, guys.
The one and only Jay Conn, as we put a bow on another episode of NHL Fantasy on Ice. Lastly, Anne, I got to ask you, who delivered the most for you in fantasy hockey this week? It's time for the Deliver the Week, brought to you by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL.
I'm taking a look at Wyatt Johnston. He's got 5 points, 4 goals in his past 5 games. We are not talking enough about the Dallas Stars right now. I think they're a team that is competitive year after year, and Wyatt Johnston is such an important part of that young core they're formulating over there, Nick.
It is a dogfight in the Central Division, and I got some questions for the social media person in Dallas after whatever that was on Wednesday. But my pick is Lucas Raymond, playing with Perron and Compher there in Detroit, a 5-game goal streak, 5 goals, 1 assist, 6 points and really, really available in Yahoo Standard League. So scoop them up for your playoff run. That's your deliveries of the week brought to you by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL. Looking forward to Thursday's card. Some juicy matchups. It's you're starting to get that feel. I'm not talking about that March Madness feel. I'm not talking about opening day in baseball. I'm talking about the Stanley Cup playoffs. We're about a month away here, guys. Let's do it.
Oh, it's the best. I've already gotten some early reports on Pete Jensen. There's some people snoozing in the audience. He's put at least five people to sleep, apparently, on this panel. So, you know, let's try to send him some energy to get the folks awake over there at the conference, okay?
Bob, I'm sure Pete's doing a fantastic job with the conference, and we're looking forward to getting back on Monday for the Week 24 Waiver Wire edition of the program. So we'll leave it at that. Many thanks to producer Bob Bender, right. J-Con from SiriusXM NHL Network Radio. For Anadua, I'm Nick Alberga. You've been listening to NHL Fantasy on Ice, delivered by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL.